This is Larry Sprunk, and the following is an interview that I had with Mr. Sam Krause of rural Zapp, North Dakota. The interview was held at the Krause home north of Zapp, Tuesday, September 30th, 1975. It began at approximately 2 o'clock in the afternoon. On the flip side of this cassette is the interview that I had that evening with Mr. L.F. Tim of Beulah, North Dakota. That interview began at 7:30 the evening of Tuesday, September 30th, 1975.
Oh, you want me to talk there, huh?
Well, I'll ask you questions, Sam.
All right, good enough.
When did your family come to North Dakota?
In March 1907.
Oh.
To Hebron.
Mm-hmm. From?
Caucasia in South Russia, east of the Black Sea.
What was the name of the dorf, or weren't you in a...
Kronenthal.
Oh.
Kronenthal.
What was that close to? Was there a bigger city?
Well, Rostov was a seaport just north of us, so a good day's drive. And from there, about 100 miles west is Odessa.
Uh-huh. My grandparents came from that same, down in the same area.
Where at?
They were closer to Odessa.
Closer to Odessa.
Yeah. But I don't remember the name of the dorf.
Oh, I see. Russian descent or...
Yeah.
Or Russian descent.
Yeah.
Yeah, German. There was right north of us, there was a Russian village. And then further east, there was the yellow race started. Kalmucks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, had your grandparents come from Germany then?
Yes. They come from South Germany someplace... And then they went to Bessarabia, but there was no more room. Then they went around into Ukraine, and that was all taken up. Then they went around over the Don River and south to Caucasia and started German settlements.
Why did your family come to the United States then, Sam?
Well, my father was 5 years in the Russian army. He fought the Japs in Mukden and Carmen. And then he come back, and then there was a revolution in Russia, in Odessa. And by gosh, he said the Russians, they're uncontrollable, and when he ever has a family, he wants to live in peace. And they threatened to take the land and everything already there. So then they heard that there's a rich uncle here in the United States that gives everybody that wants to work land and liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we packed up in a hurry. My dad, they wouldn't even let him go. They wanted him for reserve. There's some more revolutions wanted to bust up, come up.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he's got relatives in America. He wants to go and visit them for 6 months. Then he got a pass.
Oh.
Of course, when he was over here, we extended the pass for good.
How old were you, Sam, when the family came over?
7 years and 4 months.
Oh. Can you remember South Russia at all?
Oh, yes. I've been driving around with my cousins there. Dad was in the army, and so we had it farmed by uncles. And I went along already, yeah.
What was that country like? Was it level or rolling or...
Well, it was fairly level because it was between the two seas, the Caspian and the Black Sea. But further south, it started to slope up and get hilly towards the Caucasian Mountains.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But where you lived was pretty good farmland.
Good, very good farmland.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did your dad own his land?
Yes, he did. A parcel here, a parcel there, and a parcel there. See, in these villages, you couldn't have your land in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So what was pasture land was on one section, what was garden land on another section, and hay land there, and tillable land. Uh-huh. Each one had a desiadin, or what you call here, or two or three, depends on how rich he was. A desiadin is about a little better than 2 acres.
And your dad couldn't sell it because they didn't think that he was going to stay over here, right?
No, he didn't dare to sell it. Then he wouldn't. Then they wouldn't let him go.
Uh-huh.
After we was here, my dad rode back. I had an uncle there, uncle's by the same name as mine, Sam. And he said if he could arrange to buy the land, no matter at what cost. Sure, I think he took it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So he bought your dad's land.
Yes.
Why did you come to this part of North Dakota?
To this part. Any place where liberty is was good enough. When we started out from Baltimore and went through the Pennsylvania and Ohio, Dad, he said he likes the country. He could settle anywhere. But we had one relative here south of Hebron. We'd like to go that way. So when we landed in Hebron, Dad worked in the brickyards till winter set in.
This was 1907?
1907. Seven. 1907. The brickyards set in. They got a dollar a day in those days. That was nice money.
Yeah.
And when he had, I think, $40, we lived very cheap. I think 80% was savings from a dollar a day.
Yeah.
He bought a grass mower and sent it out to my uncle. Oh, did that mower get used? See, they were all poor, the beginners.
Yeah.
So some of them was cutting hay with a scythe yet, so that mower went ahead. In 15 minutes, everybody had enough. Oh, the fellow had enough hay because that virgin prairie was about 2 feet high. And when you cut the stubbles, it looked just red underneath.
Oh.
I've done a lot of virgin cutting. So, when winter set in, Dad went out. He said, then they told him, go to Dickinson, there is a land office. If you want land, they have land practically all over western North Dakota yet. Then the people advised Dad to go north, up towards the Knife River. It's better, it is colder, but the land is as good. But it rains a little more than in southwestern North Dakota. But mm-hmm. Dad took a homestead down in southeastern Hedinger County.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Whereabouts, Sam?
Oh, the southeastern part of Hedinger County, that's about 20 miles north of Lemon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Southeastern part of that. Would that be down by...
New Leipzig and Mott, between there.
Yeah.
25 miles or 15 miles from New Leipzig and about 15 miles or 20 miles from Mott.
And that was in the spring of 1908 then?
When we moved on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
On the farm. During the winter, Dad herded sheep for a neighbor, for a fellow there, Joe Williams. And he had a lot of junk there. He gave him a little walking plow, you know, the wooden kinds, and even a rotten harness, and three broncs that he couldn't use.
Yeah.
One was even shot. Dad had to dig out a bullet on his feet.
Oh.
And then he healed out.
Oh.
Yeah. And, we had a lot of fun with the broncs. Dad, he could never hold them. They run away on him all the time. But finally, they got used to working.
Oh. Had your dad farmed with horses in Russia too, or what?
Oh yes. No, my dad. I don't know. I don't think he farmed. When he settled and got married, he was drafted into the army.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
How many were there in your family when you came over, Sam?
Two of them.
Oh.
And the third one was due in the month. The third one come here in Hebron.
So when you moved down on the homestead down in Hedinger County, there were three of you in the family and in your parents.
Yes. And then the fourth one was just about due.
Oh.
Now, when he was due, we had a neighbor, Mr. Higgs. He had a quarters just north of us, a mile long, and ours was a mile long. And it started raining. It wasn't cats and dogs either. It was water. So Dad was worried. How about Mama coming in with the baby? So he packed up, and little Fred took him over to Higgs. He had a sod house already, see. And it rained and rained, so the mother and the two little brothers were, one brother and the next brother, how they ever managed to produce them, I don't know. But everybody helped together in those days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it rained. We just took a couple of posts, like a wigwam along, had a few boards on it, put flax straw on it, And you know how flax straws has water?
Yeah.
We had a mother duck with seven little ducks. She was swimming in our house. We were sitting under the table to keep fairly dry.
You just had kind of a teepee then, huh?
Something like a teepee. But to see, we just moved there. That started breaking. And then we was going to build a little sod house. But not right where we set up right away. Because the water was the closest there and right away. So that same summer we built, just over the hill, about 600-700 feet, we built a sod house. Plowed up, and I know I helped to dig the well just next to us. It's a nice creek going around there, a lot of water holes. Yeah, we lived on ducks and rabbits for the first few years.
Did you have good water there, Sam?
Oh, yeah, it's just the same as here.
Oh.
Shallow water.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't a problem anyway.
No, that was no problem. See, then when we had that sod house, so we could sit dry when it rains, we moved from the sod house east. There's the creek, and here we had a big lake, a bay, and made a dam and water. And up on the hill, we started hauling rocks. We kids and Dad and Ma built a big stone house. Oh, it must have been 20 by 40.
Oh.
That's not the house. That was the bedroom, the kitchen, the chicken and cow barn all added on there. And then a buggy shed on there.
Yeah. All in one building?
All in one building. Mm-hmm.
What did you use for a roof then? If the walls were rock and gumbo or rock and clay?
Yeah. No, see, that is we had a little credit, so that part, we shingled it.
Oh.
We shingled it. But most houses were just sods there. Our first sod house was just sod.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And how long did you live in that, Sam, before you built a rock house? Two, three years? Or?
Oh, no, about 4 months or 5 months.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Then you built this.
Yeah, no, we started building right away on the hill with rocks.
Oh.
See, we had to get the rocks from a half a mile away. So it wasn't all completed. We fix one end, and then when it's dry enough, they move in, and they just keep on adding.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. How are the crops down there?
Crops?
Yeah.
Not too good. It's hot and heavy soil, clay, gumbo mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The crops weren't too good. And like we newcomers, we trusted everybody. I think it was about 7 years we lost the homestead.
Why?
There was a crooked banker come around from Chicago, and he set up a little office there, you see, right when the railroad come through. And he talked, my dad's name was Ludwig. Why don't you buy this next quarter? Hicks moved off, you see. And I sell it to you cheap. I don't know what it was no more. But you give me your homestead as a down payment, and you got a half a section there. Good, so that was willing. And then bad crops come in, and by God, we moved off in a couple of years.
This guy's office was in New Leipzig?
No, that was in Bentleyton.
Oh, in Bentleyton.
The railroad just come through, I think, in 1910 or 11.
Uh-huh. So you were there from 1908 until 1911 or 12?
Well, we could, after we give him quit claim deed, you see,
mm-hmm.
We could still farm it, I think, for 1 year we had crop started. But at the same time, we had a quarter and a half about a mile east there. We was going to buy this, so that didn't mind losing that. It was all gumbo anyhow, and that was much better soil. So we put up hay there, hailed out the first year. Gosh, that's the worst hailstorm I've seen.
Oh.
Just like chicken eggs and even bigger ones.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And then Dad bought it. And we moved on there. That was a little house on there. That was a sod house and that was a sod roof. And then we bought another quarter right to it, made it one farm, and that's still in our possession.
Oh.
My youngest brother is on there.
Well, how did you end up here in Mercer County then, Sam?
Oh, that's a fast story. 1921, I was of age, 1921. That's that, Sam. You stay and farm with us. We got in 450 acres of wheat. One-fifth of this crop will be yours to get a starter. Well, my gosh, that was nice if we only had a good crop. To come up nice and green in June, gosh, it was wet yet. Then we had 3 mornings heavy fog. The dock didn't flow, didn't blow away. And it got so hot in the day. 3 days later, our wheat was all cooked.
Oh.
You know what my crop, my one-fifth share of that 450 acres was? 51 bushels.
Oh, is that right?
And I come up here to Golden Valley. We started in Beulah and Sap to look right away in harvest. I helped the harvest hours, and I went towards New Leipzig, helped them to harvest their whole crop for $10 a week. Then a couple of us guys said, we heard up there around Beulah and Golden Valley, they got a good crop. We go up and see if we can find a job. So we made up our minds, come up. I had $10 in the pocket, you see. I could furnish my share up here, with pool together, come up in the Model T. But I can hear old man Slender, north of Golden Valley. He was just brought a bunch of hobos or dagos, or to use Scotland in those days. They come and work 2 days, and it was too hard to beat it. And he run two headers. He had a big crop out. When he had them unloaded, he looked around there and he said, "Buba, can you understand German?"
No.
"Boys," he said in German, "what are you looking for?" I said, "Well, work anyhow so that we can eat. Stay right here. In 3 minutes or 5 minutes, I'll be back. I'll take you along." So I come up here and I worked. During head ring, we harnessed 22 head of horses every morning.
Oh.
See here on two headers, 6 horses in the header and 4 header boxes. And we got an extra team where the ladies brought us food out into the field. We had a whole section there just south of his place. It was a big chore, but we were willing to work. Right? At least there was work. Mm-hmm. And it looked like you get somewhere. After I was done, I helped thrashing, and then I helped them husk the corn and a little haul the straw in. Then I went back home, down to Bentley again. Then I seen how dreary it looked there. Even the Russian thistles were black. You never see it up here. They get brown. Yeah. So right away, I wrote back a letter to Slender, to Rosie, or who it was. "Is there work up there? I'm going to come back. I don't ask for wages, so there's work."
Yeah.
Well, my gosh, 3 days later, I had a letter. "Yes, I can work for Henry Meyer. He's a blacksmith. And I got to haul the kids to school and do the chores all winter long for $15 a month. See, that was good. I went up right away up.
That was the winter of 21 then?
21, yeah, in 21 yet.
And you were about 21 years old?
21 years. I was just coming 22, but when I come up the second time here, I was 22 already.
Uh-huh.
So when I worked at Myers in the shop, and I liked that work, blacksmithing. Then he had a brother-in-law, Albert Krugenberg, he's a mile west of here. He come down and by golly, he hired me there right away when he seen me for $300 a year.
As a farmhand?
Farmhand, yeah. Uh-huh. So I worked 3 or 4 years there, or nearly 5 years practically. The last year I worked on shares already. I helped him and worked, and I said I'd make a deal with him. "You put me in 20 acres of wheat, and I'll work for you." And we had good crops. I made better than wages.
Oh.
And then during a whist game, there was two boys here. There's a coal mine on this place. There was mining here. Chris Crisp and George Darling, they come up there. And during a whist game, they got into the argument, and Chris told me, "Sam, I'll sell you the place." "Well, what do you want for it?" He said, $1,700. You stay, that was Saturday night, I say. "You stay right here. Monday morning we go to Sap and I'll buy the place." I bought it, so I'm still here.
How much did you get? A quarter then?
A quarter, yeah. Uh-huh. 160 acres.
For $1,700?
$1,700, yeah. But there was nothing on there. a little stone house. I lived in it as a bachelor, about 200 feet south of here. Stone house and a little straw barn, a few posts. Yeah. So I built myself a little house here and batched for a year and a half. Yeah, and I'm mining always in the fall, during the winter. And then when nobody come no more, I hauled up about 10, 15 ton coal behind my old house. I built myself a little new house, a 12 by 18 wooden one. So her dad sent her over and her brother over once to get some coal. They needed two more loads. You know, and she turned around so fast. And you know, in them old time wagons, we had a long reach in the wagon that fits for the hay rack too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we threw off the box, you know, which lent the wagon and put the hay rack on. She turned around so fast and hooked with a load of the coal on my wagon and tipped it over and broke the reach. You know, them reaches cost 40 cents a foot in those days.
I'm still working for
that.
It.
That was okay. And I never asked, I was too bashful to ask the old man for the damages.
Yeah, yeah.
At least a dollar and a half. So finally, by golly, it happened that, by golly, I married her. Just to get even for that broken reach. But now I give her half interest in the wagon. Yeah.
That isn't even alive no more, that wagon.
Yeah, I know down in Bentley when we are on the homestead, well, we had to organize there. See, that there is all organized townships. We had township government and road bosses. There was no roads. Well, later on when the settlers come to better, we put a little bridge in there and a little bridge there, mostly 3x12s, county plank we call them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's much water. We made it 4x5, a big one, over the higher hill. We use these little two-handled scrapers. But see there, we were allowed to work so much off on our taxes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So finally, we got roads.
Sam, was there that much difference between Hettinger County and Mercer County? Did you like this country up here a lot better than that country down there?
Yeah, they have so many droughts there. Much more than here. It's drier, much drier than it was, yeah. There's many a crop failure when there is a crop here and hay. And then they're more pestered with grasshoppers. Boy, did I see the grasshoppers clean up crops down there. See, they like dry weather, dry hot weather.
Uh-huh.
Our home grasshoppers never been bad. These migratory ones that come in with the south hot wind, it is what cause us damage. Of course, we got a good chance this year. They laid in all good and we had a nice bunch of them here. So, look out for it next year.
Yeah. But the crops up here were consistently better than they were down there.
Yes. The soil is better. See, this is glacial drift.
Uh-huh.
A glacier went over here once and deposited. We got a lot of rocks where they have none down there.
Uh-huh. How did you pick up more land here then after a while, Sam? If you started with that quarter section and the little stone house.
Yeah, well, I could have picked up a lot of land for $5 an acre or for $2 an acre even. I didn't want any. I could make a living on this place by selling coal, you see,
uh-huh.
And raising cows. That's what I'm still. I still raise cows. I got a little over 30 head.
Uh-huh.
Of course, then the county built a road over here. See, the section line is right here behind the barn.
Uh-huh.
And Straub was here, he was going to sell me that quarter. I think it was $7 or $8 an acre. Now I said, no, I got enough land, and the way it looked there in the dry years, the country's going to hell anyhow. So I said, you make the road as far as close to here as possible, where it's a good road. I'll buy what there is, what falls off here. So I've got 38 acres here.
Uh-huh.
And then we sold church property, 18 acres up there. I bought that too. So I got two ranches. But that is very good soil, just all in hay. There, I paid, I think, $49 an acre already.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They offered me 200 an acre already. No, I'm not going to sell. Not even for 500.
Did you, how many children did you, have you raised?
Well, she raised most of them. She whipped them so they grow fast, you see.
Four lives, one dead.
Yeah.
So you raised a family of six of you on less than a half section here.
Yes, I could. And I bought it. She cooked for more than 200 here. You know, during scraping, I had all the five, six hired men here, and we paid them, and they earned their coal. And we could raise a family easy, even more than that. We could even save a little money. But those days are different than now. We've discovered one of our store slips from the hardest years. Well, gingham was 6 cents or 5.5 cents a yard to make a dress for a girl. The whole bill was 97 cents.
Oh.
And on the bottom it said CHG. See, we had credit there. We didn't want to write a check all the time, so...
In the bank.
Oh, we could have paid. No, we always had a little bank, a bank account, a little.
What was your nearest town then, Zap?
Zap.
Uh-huh.
Zap was the nearest town. Of course, we had prairie towns. We had a little town here, about 2 miles east, Casimir. When the railroad came in, they moved away. And then there was a little town on the river, Ree. They had elevator there, and they shipped the boat wheat out. And a store, they had a store. I know when I got fence posts, I bought them up in Ree. They had a machine store there, too.
Was that town still there in 21?
Yep.
Oh?
21. In 25, it was there. When I got posts and other stuff, and Albert went up there and bought a gang plow. So they was selling it. It was just... three more buildings left, and so finally it ended up.
And what was this little prairie town you mentioned?
Casimir.
I never heard of that before. Yeah. Was that just a post office, or...?
Post office, and I think they even had a bank there, and an implement store, and...
Oh?
I don't know what all they had. Well, these old businessman, I think Field, he's dead already. He had an office down here, the machine business, and Keys had a real estate office.
What nationality of people settled around this area?
Mostly Germans.
Oh.
Germans, some Russians too, some Russians. This here place, well, the two places, yeah, this here place was by a Russian, Srakovi. And then there was Prokovi, there were some more Russians. Southeast, Martin Castro was a half a mile west here. He's from the Black Sea, from Krim.
Now, I got a question, Sam. You say mostly Germans, but some Russians.
Yes.
Now, do you mean when you say Russians, real Russians, or Germans from Russia?
No, they were real Russians. Now, I was a Russian myself, but I'm German.
Yeah. But you came
from... But there, let's see... About 90% or better were Russians, immigrants from Russia.
And they weren't descendants of people that had moved from Germany into Russia.
That's
they
right.
were Russian.
Yes, then they had to be Russians, you see. When they live in there, they became Russian citizens.
But they were of German ancestry.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Do you think today that a family could be raised on a half section of land?
Yes.
How come all of these guys keep saying you need 3 sections or 4 sections or 10
well,
sections?
Well, sure, that's right. If I want to make buy a $30,000 tractor and a $15,000 combine and use a new Cadillac every other year, then I need 3 sections, don't I? I got in a 58 car. Keep her running, by God. She is more than a car already. She's an old friend.
Yeah.
And I can't afford to buy a good car, but this is good enough.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Sam, the way farms keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger?
They'll come down. Don't you worry. We got to make room for the next generation. If a young couple wants to get married and build a nest, and they see a tree, and you come there and somebody else owns it already, then they go to the next tree. You can't build a nest, isn't it? Somehow, if we don't provide for them, nature will have to step in.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Nature will have to step in. What do we say, nature? You might call it God or fate or circumstances or everything combined makes God, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we're heading into a hell of a trouble, and it is closer than we think. If inflation, we try to halt it, but our government, I think they're too slow. They just fill their own pockets.
Yeah.
If we get our inflation into the double and triple, after 1978, I think we'll go in double figures and then into triple. Then it might come like it was in Germany and there. You know how it was there?
You mean when they changed the color of the money?
No, then they had to pay in Germany to pay the workers twice a day because in the afternoon the forenoon money was worthless already.
Yeah.
It was, I never read the worst of it, but I know my brother-in-law, he come over here, said an American dollar was worth 78,000 Reichmark, and it got worse after that.
Yeah.
When a haircut costs millions of dollars, that's inflation, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Where was your mine on this land?
About 300 feet south of here. 300 feet, yeah.
Oh.
That road right down here leads into it, right, when you get over the bridge.
How much coal do you think you hauled out of there?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got an idea. Let's say about $50,000 worth.
Really?
Yeah. And I sold them at 65 cents a ton in the earlier years. And then later on we took a dollar and a half. But we had it easy. There was no expenses to it. I know when we started here, there was only 2.5 to 3 feet overburden, you see. When we plowed up with the horses and I got the third plowing, we hit the slack already. And then there was 8 to 12 feet of coal.
Oh. Was that always a strip mine, or after a while did you go in?
No, it has always been a strip mine. It was just opened to the former guy that lived here. He developed it, a bachelor. He took it over from another fella who stripped some of it. But the former owner, he wanted to collect the money for the land. Sragovi, he had to have a section in northeast. So he chased him off the land. Chris Christman mined out the coal and put the money in his pocket and sold me the place. So then on I had a start.
Uh-huh. Did you do, at first, did you have a lot of guys working for you, or at first did you do it by yourself? How did you change?
No, I always had a helper here, or go in partnership with somebody. We went with horses, I see. I said, I alone couldn't do all the work. She helped me a lot, too, but then I said, well, many boys at the hard times where you come and help me for every day you worked here, you get a load of coal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I only had 2-3 Fresnos and a little scraper. And the Fresnos were 2-horse outfits. So I had mostly 2 and 3 of them here. Mostly 2 of them. That was, I handled one myself. And then, we didn't have that house. We had a little house. So we slept there in a row like sardines.
Was this good coal out here?
That's good, very good coal.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. How far would people come from to get coal from you?
Well, in the beginning, you with horses, you can't go very far. But later on, oh, north of Dodge and from Golden Valley, a lot of them come out here. And the neighborhood here, because there was a lot of mines here in Sap. Why go so far?
Mm-hmm.
Sap and Beulah had a lot of little mines. And easier to load. They were underground mines. All you had to back up there and pull the chute. And down they come like cats and dogs.
And here you had to shovel it on.
I shovel it on with my hand.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And yet you sold that much coal.
I did.
And you never shipped any out?
Nope.
On a railroad or...
No, we're too far from the railroad.
Yeah.
Then I got a lot of Indian friends. A lot of Indians come to get coal. But they're always good friends, you know. You got to trust them and they never pay.
Would they come across on the river or...
No, they were on this side.
Oh, on this side.
But they moved back now. Uh-huh. No, most of them paid. I just got a few of them. But they'd like to get even with a white man somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. They figure in the first place it was their coal.
Well, were there that many homesteaders? Was the land populated that much that you could sell that much coal locally?
Oh, yeah, there was many farms here because, you see, a township contains 36 sections.
Yeah.
Every odd-numbered section the government gave to the railroad company for building a railroad through the state.
Mm-hmm.
40 miles on either side. So the Northern Pacific got quite a tract. So it applied here too. Every odd-numbered section was railroad land. Every even-numbered section was homestead land. Except 16 and 36, they were granted for education.
Mm-hmm.
But see, now that would give 18, that would give 16 sections, isn't it? And on each section there's four quarters. That'd be 64 homesteaders could live in a township.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, then there's a lot of wide open that, just, I mean, the railroad land, you could buy that cheap.
Yeah.
And rent the school lands. So if there are 64 homesteaders, which never were really, they come and homesteaded and proved it and got their citizenship papers and left for where they came from, uh-huh. from Wisconsin or Illinois. You got there, had a little money, and then they went. But let's say about half of them were. They were all settled once at a time.
So you might have 30 or 35 families in each township.
Easy. Mm-hmm. Not now, no more.
No, but...
Yeah, we had them, yeah.
And how much would each family burn of coal?
Well...
How many ton would it take to make you through the winter?
Oh, about 10, 12 to 14 ton average. But when they had a big house and furnace, they used a little more. In later years, they used more. And they had furnaces and bigger houses. And then they had shops and some heated their tank heaters and what have you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that does add up, all right.
You know, it adds up. Just like electricity. When we signed up for electricity, well, we thought $5 is... We don't use that much. Now we use 25.
Yeah. How many guys did you have working for you when you were at your biggest peak? Yeah.
Well, then I went into shares with George Leffelman. You met him already, isn't
yeah.
he? He came here and he was here and it was going to end meet my brother-in-law. And then, well, I furnished a man and he had, so we agreed 50-50 on the profit, you see.
Uh-huh.
And I had my brother-in-law's here, then I go... 40-60, I get 60. Then I furnished the extra help. And so a couple times. Of course, that year when George was here, we sold, I think, over $3,000 worth.
Oh.
And $1,500 was a lot of money. He could buy a quarter of land for that in those days.
Yeah.
In fact, he bought two quarters, I think, for $300 a quarter. And my brother-in-law, he worked here when I worked at 40-60. He bought himself an H tractor.
Oh.
And the neighbor up here, he helped me just mining. He bought himself a car to get married on, to get all his girlfriend around.
How would you do it then? Would you plow it and then scrape it off with a Fresnel and then...
That's right, then plow it again so till we're done.
And then when you hit the coal, would you have to dynamite it to break it up a little bit? Or?
Oh, yes, we had to mine it. When we had a start once, it was all right. See, then we clean out the front a little bit. Then we drill a hole in here. Let's say the hole is 10 feet deep. We drill a hole 10 feet down. And in early years, we got pellet powder. Put in about 6 sticks, and I got it lifts out about 10 to 12 tons sometimes.
Oh.
And sometimes nothing at all. When it gets wet down, you got to drill it out and reset the shot.
Yeah.
You used to drill it by hand, you see. But later on, I got myself some one of these here, like a post-hole auger, you know. And I had to retwist some augers. And that went much faster with a little gas motor. Am I talking loud enough? Or
yeah, that's fine. That should be working fine. Here, yeah. I'll try it.
What's next?
Well, Sam, how many mines do you think there were around the country like yours?
Lot of them. Even on school land, during the 30s there, the State Department or the Education Department allowed people to mine their own coal. So sometimes 6, 7 families go together and strip off a little area and they got the coal free. And then there was a mine here, and in the situation where several mines, and there was a lot of little mines where there was coal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we even had, I think, 4 nice big mines, or 5 of them in Zap, where there's only one left.
Were those mines around Zap, were they just for local people too, or did they
ship? No, they shipped.
They shipped.
They shipped. Yeah, there was a big mine. I think the one employed probably 200 people. They went broke.
What was the name of that one?
Lucky Strike.
Was that the only mine that shipped out?
No, then there was Ape Cammons had a mine. They shipped out. Eckert shipped out. Hager shipped. And then there's North American. That's still existing on the hill.
That's the one between Zap and
Beulah. Yes.
Yeah. About halfway between.
Yes. Yeah. And they're doing good.
Did that help this country during the 30s?
The mines.
Yeah.
Definitely. And much. I tell you how it is. For example, we could go in our town, you know, and I do indulge sometimes in a little liquor. Beer we could get all the time, but when the country went wet. But we could always buy wine, whiskey, or what have you here. But one summer I went down to Bentley where there was strictly agriculture and nothing there. I went to Bentley, say, I said, what have you got to drink? Only beer. How come? Well, we can't afford it. We can't sell it. But if you want whiskey or something, I'll have to go home and get some from my private supply. That's what industry does, see?
Yeah.
An extra buck comes into the community and that shows up.
Did most of the people that worked in the mines, like the Lucky Strike mine or these other mines, were they local people?
Mostly, except the ruling class, the owners and so on. Well, they were mostly local people.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have a lot of Italians or Irish coming in from the east and working in the mines?
Well, in the towns there is a little bit mixed population, you see. There's some Norwegians, some Swedes, some Germans, and what have you. And they work the mines. Work too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like when we get started, when this here gasification gets going, well, we haven't got enough people here locally.
Yeah.
So other nationalities we come in. I mean from other places.
Mm-hmm.
And so there could be Hungarians or what have you. There's some coming in or out. The other night I even seen a dark person here.
Oh.
So he's looking for work too, I think.
How do you think that will affect this part of the country, Sam? Do you think that the people that live here will be able to
cope with it?
Yeah.
Yes. If the law don't interfere. I asked the sheriff already. We know there's a starvation on the way coming. When it gets uncontrollable, that we can't control it no more, and what have you, comes over here and shoots the cattle and steals and everything. I asked the sheriff, can I shoot? He said, yes, but not to kill.
You think it's going to get that bad, Sam? It
might even get worse. Yep. You know how the big revolution in Russia was? How was it in Africa? Then the law can't cope with it.
Yeah.
We just got minor engines just looking like Patricia Hearst down here. What a fuss to make. Today they got her down to her inside psychiatrist again, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. I think that the trouble is in our law already.
Yeah. Well, what do you think will happen to... do you think that mining, strip mining, and coal gasification will hurt the agriculture of Mercer County?
No, not a bit. Not a bit. Unless our government rules and restrictions and regulations get unbearable, then we just throw down the pick the heck. We farmers know... Now, I got a 1.5 acre there. I level it to most. If I put sweet clover and alfalfa on there, the cows will eat just the same as on the hillside. When our pioneers come, and probably you read history, they had to clean an acre or two out in a year to make it fit for farming, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The trees and,
yeah.
and dig the roots out by hand or burn them and so on. The same thing we can do with the spill piles. We can level out more than 2 acres a year and bring it back in production.
What do you find after you get through? You said that vein of coal was 10 or 12 feet thick.
Yes.
What kind of ground is right underneath a vein of coal? Is it clay or what is it?
No, it was still a top surface once. It's clay with petrified rock and some petrifications underneath it. But that was once top.
Oh.
It was our lake bottom, but it was the top of the soil, you see.
Uh-huh.
Then a big lake developed down there, and kelp or whatever seaweed grew on there, probably 60 to 100 feet thick, during the torrid times.
Yeah.
And then a catastrophe set in and covered that up, pressed the water out, the stuff heated and turned into lignite or... what's the other name that's lessened? No, I'm getting older, I forget the names already. In German they call it Schorf. It's peat. Peat box.
Oh, peat, yeah.
Peat.
Mm-hmm. So you found that after you got all the coal off, that the ground that was underneath that had been topsoil or had been surface soil at one time.
At one time, yes.
Yeah.
And it was not forest. It was not forest. It was a seaweed that... Because we find it level on the bottom or sloping kindly, but not, if it would have been trees, the stumps would have made a rough bottom, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think so.
Yes. And it would have been more dirt mixed in with the coal.
So,
but underneath, when I drill down, then let's say about 10 feet, there's clay, blue clay, that was once topsoil. Then I find another vein of coal.
Oh.
But I never drilled down. It mustn't be more than about 3-4 feet. And probably if you go down further, there's probably another one. That was once on top in some.
Yeah, yeah. So you took all the coal off that you could. I mean, that mine that you had there is... The coal is gone.
Yeah, just about not quite an acre, I think.
Oh.
Probably a little better than an acre. But all around there, all the coal yet.
Uh-huh.
So I got a lot of coal west, but when I come there, I had to quit. There is a fault going through where the coal on the west sunk down, let's say about 8 inches.
Oh.
Must have been a hollow point underneath, oil or something.
So it didn't match up, huh?
No, it didn't match up, no.
Uh-huh.
And see, since I had my ditches of water, I had just as much coal here going further south with less water trouble.
Is the coal better if it's in water?
It's all the same.
Oh.
It's all the same. It depends on the pressure, what's on top, and the age of coal, you see.
Well, is the older the coal, the better, or?
Yes. And the more pressures on it, the harder they are. Like in the mountains, it's anthracite or bituminous coal. That's much better. See, even this coal, in the true development, if we'd had twice the pressure on there, no doubt this coal wouldn't be 12 feet. It'd probably be about 8 feet.
Uh-huh.
But still, all the BDUs would be in 8 feet, what's now in 12. So it would be better coal.
Uh-huh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have trouble with this, or did people have trouble with this coal turning to slack if it dried out too much?
All lignite will dry out to slack.
All
lignite will dry out to slack. So will other coal. It takes a little slower.
Uh-huh.
Mm. What they call it, oxidation, isn't it? It's closer. Even you lay a piece of metal out there that don't slack at all, but in 1,000 years it's gone.
Yeah. Did the price of coal go up quite a bit from 22 to 38?
Oh, yes, it went up quite a bit.
When you started, when you took this over and got married and decided that you were here to stay,
yes.
How much would a ton of coal cost at that time? Say 20?
Well, I gave them a ton. They said some had a ton and a half on there for one ton. We figured in a wagon box. A wagon box is 3 by 10 feet. 16 inches high is one ton. That's 40 cubic feet. If you had a big wagon, you load 32 inches on there, we considered it 2 ton. But in weight, I'm pretty sure it was close to 3 ton.
Mm-hmm. How much would you charge a ton then?
No, 6 cents an inch, I said. 6 times 16, 36, 96 cents a ton. That was when I started. But during the harder years, we guessed it, the weight and for 65 cents when it was the cheapest. See, in the 30s, it was much cheaper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was that because nobody had any money?
Yes. No, I had to write everybody in the book.
I suppose.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you ever get all of that money back?
No, I don't expect it. I don't expect it. And I don't think I'll run over all over hell and then beyond to collect it.
Yeah.
But I told the Social Security man to send my checks to hell. I sent him a forwarding address. He said, why? You can't cash. Oh, yes, I said. First National has banks all over hell.
Did you have trouble collecting? Do you think that most people that charged eventually paid if they had the money? Or were some of them
shysters? No, there's always certain amount of ones. And they got so many alibis. I know one fella, he knows darn well he didn't pay. He said, yes, Sam, you know, right back there behind the hill when they had to wait for the shot to go off, I paid you. Well, I said, I don't know nothing. I got nothing in my books. Well, I paid you. What can you do?
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever have any trouble, any accidents on your mind? Did any powder ever misfire or anybody?
Oh, yes, a lot of misfire. I drilled it out and I had one of these GI hats on that. I drilled them. Well, then we usually come down with if something don't fire, we drill it out and then we had to get the powder out. It's hard to drill out. We cut a little piece of fuse about that long and light it and throw it in there and then get away. You know, I had smeared that powder up on the side and here. When I threw it in there, poof, it went up right. It blew my head up about 50 feet. But it just got on the side of my head.
Oh. But nobody was ever hurt.
No,
bad.
No, powder is slow. See, it isn't like dynamite.
Uh-huh.
No, I had close accidents, but never had an accident.
Would you rather have a strip mine than a deep mine?
Always, on account of air and dust.
Uh-huh.
Yes, always.
Do you think when you look back to the when you came in 7 and the years that you spent down by Bentley in the 20s and 30s around here, do you think that people were more sociable and friendly and neighborly in those times than they are today?
No, it just depends on the locality. We got a good locality here too. They're very sociable and so it was down there. Well, Those days we had to be. You couldn't make it back from town in one day. You see, you stopped at the first place you come to, or when it gets dark, and you're always welcome.
Yeah.
And so it's now yet. Yeah, and when you come north of Dodge, there at Halliday, now their society beats ours all to pieces yet. They are just like all in the family.
Oh.
Yes.
North of Halliday, huh?
Yes. And northeast and Halliday there. And I think around Dodge too, north of Dodge. It is all Mercer County. We are not natives, you see. We all come in. So I think that helps to be make a better society.
Mm-hmm.
I know the young ones now are much different.
How do you mean?
We got even from a lot of the young. If I take my car out there and bike a little, and the older people respect the other people's property.
Mm-hmm.
But not this younger generation. When they come at night and there's nobody around, they set the one up there on the hill and watch it there, and then they steal your battery and the spare and take the tires off. Yeah. And it's getting worse. Well, we learn it from unionization, or what you call it. We get strikes here, everywhere. It's a wonder the government doesn't strike. They want us all as slaves.
Yeah.
Well, what else you want to know?
Okay, I was wondering, did you keep on farming all the while that you were digging coal or selling coal out in the winter? Well, would you dig in the wintertime, Sam, or in the summer?
Start October 1st. In September we strip. And then as soon as we had enough strip, some of the strippers can work and here they can start hauling, then we haul till it blows shut. Till it's snow.
Uh-huh.
It's snow.
Mm-hmm. What would you usually have, 6 weeks of hauling or?
Oh, October, November, December, 2.5 months.
Oh.
And sometimes in January some Indians work all the time. They come and at night or in the winter. Now they don't need coal. They come all the time.
Mm-hmm. How many did you have working for you?
At the most?
Yeah.
Mostly two, that's all.
Oh.
And they were not paid workers.
Uh-huh.
They worked their share. And they were young ones. They paid for the coal. Well, I hired one when I was bachelor yet. Paid him $4 a day to help me harvest and get started. Showed me how to use dynamite and stripping and so on. But I only had him a short time. From then on, I found out I can't afford $4 a day.
Yeah.
He got more than I did. The place was his.
Yeah. So did you keep on farming then?
I farmed very little after that here on the place. My land is mostly range land.
Uh-huh.
When the wheat was down to 20 cents a bushel, I quit farming. But then I only had about 8 or 10 acres. Then I put it all into hay, alfalfa, broom grass, and here and there a little of this and that.
But you kept on milking cows, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Cows. When I married, she brought along 3 cows.
That was the dowry, huh?
Huh?
That was the dowry?
Yeah, no, she got some. She had her own clothes, too.
Oh.